Welcome and welcome back to our podcast. We, my dad and me, are back with another episode with a very interesting guest. And this is going to be another episode in English, as you can already tell. In the episode before this one, we talked to Sebastian Frey, who works at Schildkröte, a company famous for its sports articles. And since he has worked there for over 24 years, he also shared with us what was kind of provided for him so that he could work there for so long. He also shared his outlook on the generational topic with us and also talked to us about leadership and communication. Our guest today is Sara Lee Alcaraz. Sara Lee has been in the human resource and organization development profession for a very long time, and she's currently the executive director of ITD World, which we have also mentioned in our podcast. She's also conducting workshops and functioning as a trainer and speaker. Welcome, Sara Lee. I'm very excited for our conversation. And before we start, I would just ask you to introduce yourself, your person, what you do, so that the listeners get to know you a little bit better.
Sure. Thank you so much, Rebecca. That was already a wonderful introduction. I like that you didn't mention the number of years that I have been in this profession, because that's going to really reveal, that's what we call age reveal, right? But maybe something that not many people would know about me is why I was named Sara Lee. And you pronounce that perfectly well, but sometimes I would recognize when people would be pronouncing my name because they will stop for a bit. Sometimes they will pronounce it as celery, the vegetable, Shirley. Sometimes even like a brand named Sara Lee, right? But why was it Sara Lee? It's actually a combination of my parents' names. I'm the product of Sergio, my dad, so they got S-E-R, and Elizabeth, my mom. And that's where you get your E-L-I, but they turned it into E-L-Y. So something that I would have to thank my parents for giving me a name that can be a very good icebreaker or anecdote at the start of my sessions. So maybe that is something that's kind of unique. At the same time, I have a younger brother and his name is Ellie Sir. So it's just kind of a play of the names. Thank you, creative parents. So similar to your introduction, maybe one thing I want to add is I've really been blessed to be able to do what I love and love what I do. Ever since in school, I know in my heart, I graduated with a degree in psychology and human resource development. So I really love training. No offense to those who are into perhaps recruitment or payroll or employee relations or some other facets of human resource. I love training. And I thank my lucky stars that I was brought to this field because for me, I really see the difference that I make, both face to face, right? And of course, during the pandemic, a lot of online. So my reach has gone beyond Philippine shores, no? So such a delight, including this podcast, no? to be able to really make a difference in the lives of the people who I encounter.
Okay, thank you for that introduction. And to start right into the topic, I would like to ask you a question that I ask everyone, you know, to kind of introduce the topic and so that you can also be, you know, comfortable with what we're going to ask you. And the question would be, what has been your overall view and experience with the different generations now? And then also when you were younger, how did you experience the older generations? And yeah, just tell us about your experiences and maybe even something that has been in your mind ever since.
Thank you, Rebecca. So first things first, proud Gen X here. And very, very much that generation that when we were in school, It wasn't even the luxury of the World Wide Web. I was part of the generation that encountered good old typewriter when we were writing out all the reports, going to the library and photocopying stuff and researching via encyclopedia, you know? So it's only later that it was a generation that kind of learned to adapt because suddenly you now have, when I started working, that's when we had our WordStar or Lotus 1-2-3, also known as Excel, right? So it was as our generation just started opening up into this field, and now we have AI and so on and so forth. How do we view, how do I particularly view the other generations? Of course, a lot of encounter with baby boomers, right? And they were, at least for me, they were my bosses, right? They were my leaders, my managers. How do I view them? Kind of workaholic, you know, their lives would revolve around work, can be very strict, can be disciplinarians. Okay, shout out to my bosses. I love you, but the work ethic, right? It's really, I would bring work home because otherwise I don't want to spend until like 7, 8 p.m. in the office, no? And then perhaps my view now of millennials, millennials and Gen Zs. Now, maybe for me, this would be the workforce that I really worked with, okay, both as colleagues, and many of them are actually, well, became my direct reports. I learned to be a bit more agile, a bit more flexible. I became also a millennial. You know, when I'm dealing with a millennial, I was the one who adjusted because in my mind, rather than wait for them to adjust to me, even if I'm their boss, I might as well kind of get to know them. What is their why? You know, so I'm very clear about why. Why are they working? You know, why are they waking up in the morning, and what are they doing this for? So then I get to learn how they work. For me, there's something to summarize that. I know between the two, there's also some differences, right? You know what I notice is that sometimes my millennial, how Gen X treated the millennials would be how the millennials are treating the Gen Zs. You know, so I go, now you understand how we feel. So for me, it's about I feel there's a big sense of work-life integration, you know, work-life balance, a bit of this generation that I have to do more than work. I have to contribute to society. I have to leave a legacy. I want to make a mark. And sometimes, at least from a Gen X perspective, these are the my millennials would be the ones that are kind of rushing to be promoted, you know, rushing. Like sometimes I feel like when I am interviewing them, they would be maybe a question in their mind would be, so how long will it take for me to replace you? You know, so at least in there, you know, at least if I could just kind of read their thought bubble, you know, but in general, maybe apologies for the long answer, okay, but in my mind, what I'm looking at is, yes, there are differences, yeah. At the same time, there within that whole baby boomer, that whole Gen X, that whole millennial and Gen Z, there are also differences. Because at the end of the day, this is brought about by their own experiences. This, for me, it's brought about even by their own personality styles. the things that they've encountered as they're growing up, things they've encountered when they started working. So there's a lot of influences. And that is how I view what we call this in this multi-generational differences in the workplace.
Wonderful. Good morning also to the listeners. I'm also with these two wonderful ladies today. Sarah Lee, I was listening to your answer, and one thing where I want to ask you a little bit more about is, I think especially what the podcast is for, and you said that I think it's in relation to self-leadership, and it is about I have to adapt to the new generation, because this would mean that, of course, you as a senior leader can say, yes, you have to do this in this or in that way. Maybe how it was in the past, this was this command control what we had. What can you give to the listeners to help them when they face challenges with the young generations, how they can adapt? Because it is, I know we both were going through this life purpose statement, and everybody knows if the why is powerful, the how is easy. Yes, this is easy said, but how can this be done in a practical way in a day-to-day job?
Awesome question as well, Gerard. One way to, okay, let's break it down a bit,
Yeah,
right?
of
And
course.
really make it practical. I think the first step is exactly what you said about the self, right? You as a leader, as a boss. I think, what I would always share in my workshops as well, let's admit one thing. We have our bias, right? There's no one who is so objective. We all have our subjectivity card, right? Or a hat that we wear. So the more I believe leaders who are listening to this podcast, the more that we are aware of our own bias, I think that's the self-awareness. I believe that's the first step, right? And thank you for shining a spotlight that perhaps for me, it comes second nature that I'll be the one to adjust rather than the other person. Now that I am, in a sense, seeing it from another perspective, like they doing a bit of a stepping back, not all leaders would be like that, isn't it? Some would actually say, hey, you should be the one who should adjust to me, not the other way around. Or maybe saying, like, I've earned this, right? I'm entitled to all of this. So perhaps what was operating in me would be workshops that I've conducted, not like communication, right? Or like if you want to be able to have a more engaged workforce, it's always a two-way street, right? So those who is more self-aware, the one who can kind of lead himself or herself, let's do something, right? So we can bridge this divide. So we can kind of, it's kind of beat the same drum and head in the same direction. So self-awareness, call out our bias. When it comes to this Gen Z's, when it comes to this millennial, so better to kind of have that. And I think what actually worked for me is that I do my Well, there's always what you call lifelong learning and a lot of networking. I actually get myself out there. I expose myself to different generations, and only to realize, well, we're not so far apart, right? Like all of us would have the same idiosyncrasies. We all have the same, when we're upset, we all behave like this, So I guess it's really being more exposed right, to different generations, so that, so it's a practical tip, so that you can actually put a crack, and kind of defy your own preconceived notions. I think there's really, and this is something personal for me, I think there's a danger about generalizing generations, So if we can just pause for a bit, maybe ask ourselves, and here's where I know, Gerard, right? You're coaching questions to yourself, okay? Right? Is this really what this person meant? Is this really, where is this person coming from? Because sometimes I realize it's my own programming, it's my own self-talk. But when you remove all of those, nothing. It's really just how they are built. Maybe my last tip there. I think what worked for me is that not really quote unquote complaining, no, or maybe ranting, okay? Or maybe all Gen X bonded together and they all talk about the millennials, right? Or all the millennials bonding together talking about these Gen Zs, because I think I believe that each generation would be able to bring something to the table. All we need to do is, at least for me, is focus on their strengths. What are they good at? What can I actually rely on them to bring to the table? And that's practically your strength-centered, coaching or management that I feel every leader can actually do.
Okay, thank you for that. You already mentioned that you do workshops in communication, and I've kind of wanted to talk about this topic because we have this a lot in our podcast episodes. And since you talk about this and you teach this to other people, I wanted to ask you also, how did you come to be where you are right now, your journey? And you already said that you're so grateful to be able to be doing what you're doing now. And I wanted to talk a little bit about this, but then also, how did you get into the topic communication? And what is something that you can tell us and also our listeners that you think we should all do more?
Awesome. Thanks, Rebecca. So when I mentioned already my psychology, human resource development background, right? And the first 3 years of my work was actually in corporate. So I started my career in a big conglomerate here in the Philippines, Asuriano Corporation, where even during that time, so maybe here's one insight. I was actually dealing with boomers, right? So back then, maybe it's not us, but like just to let you know, one trivia, two of my office mates are the parents of my classmates, so there's a big divide. So I kind of learned how to, manage work with people so much older than me. I remember they were saying, "Wow, thank you, Sara Lee, because of your age, no? The average age of everyone here, no? Got a little lower." Then the rest of my career is already with consulting firms. So I can freely share them here. I used to be with DDI, Development Dimensions International. Shout out as well to my very first boss and mentor. Her name is Cor Suarez. She's the first lady president of the Philippine Society for Training and Development. So PSTD is how we call it. And she was the one who gave me a lot of opportunities in organization development work, as well as in training. And part of that would be communication, customer service, leadership training. So even at a very, very young age. Then she actually was instrumental in helping me land a job also at DDI, Development Dimensions, which is a Pittsburgh-based consulting firm. And then after that, took further studies at the Asian Institute of Management, AIM, before joining Dale Carnegie training. So Dale Carnegie, if you talk about communication, Rebecca and Gerard, they're the ones who are. So Dale Carnegie is the author of How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I feel that they've actually influenced the way that I communicate, the way that I present, the way that I show up, because it's very much into public speaking, right? Into really getting your message across. And the last 20 years, so it's actually the 20th anniversary of ITD World. Ooh, 2 decades, right? ITD in the Philippines is my baby. So I was practically employee number. Well, I'm their partner, no? So I know you've spoken and will be speaking to quite a number of our from ITD. But for the Philippines, we started this 2006 with Dr. Peter Chi. Since then, it has been one guru after another, bringing the likes of Jack Canfield, author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, John Maxwell, Brian Tracy, of course, Marshall Goldsmith, so some of these gurus in leadership and coaching. So for your question, Rebecca, about communication. Communication holds a special place in my heart only because I feel like it's so fundamental, right? It's foundation. I remember conducting a program called Communication Works for like several batches in Penang, Malaysia. But what happened there is it becomes a foundation course. So if you haven't taken this, you won't be able to take coaching. You won't be able to take mentoring. You won't take conflict resolution or customer service for that matter. So for me, it's really communication is so fundamental to leadership, right? Into building connections. I believe it was John Maxwell who mentioned this in real estate. You talk about location, location, location. But when it comes to a team, when it comes to leadership, it's about communication, communication, communication.
Okay, thank you for that. It's a very good insight, and that if you want to ask something about that, you go ahead. Otherwise, I'm gonna ask another
No,
question.
I'm still progressing all these wonderful informations from Sarah Lee. Maybe one thing which could be interesting for the listeners is you were working or still working with a lot of fantastic leaders, mentors, and gurus is a very dangerous name in Germany because this is really a little bit going into this, the world where spirituality and the things is more or less standing there. Of course, this is also absolutely needed, but we call them great coaches here in our podcast. Which one would you say was the one who making not the biggest influence? Because I think they had all of them had a big influence on you, but who was the one who was standing out a little bit? Can you name one or two? For me, of course, only to give you on my end at the moment, and this is still you continue learning new people, new mentors. For me, of course, Marshall Goldsmith is outstanding, of course. You know that we had him in the CCMC course, and one thing which I still remember, and as soon as I get the chance, I always tell this, and this was, I think, also a little bit the message when you were speaking about, yeah, not putting the Gen X in one basket and then the millennials in one basket, and let's get them fight against each other. And I think judge less, help more is one of these which was really outstanding to me. Is there something where you say, yes, there was one of these wonderful mentors, teachers, coaches, with also a small sentence, a small gift to you, where you said, this is what I still remember, even if it was 25 years ago?
Yes, I do, Gerard. Okay. If there's one great coach, right, of all the coaches, all the mentors, all the great speakers that we've had, and I know this is pretty biased, but I would definitely go with the Dr. Peter Chi. Okay. Only because of all the leaders and mentors, he is really one that sometimes sometimes my term for it is I also grew up with him. Can you imagine? First time that I have a boss, I have a CEO for 20 years, right? This is 20 years of working together. Sometimes it's telling Peter, you're like 4x all my other bosses, right? Because I would always kind of stay for maybe like 5 years thereabouts. But for someone who I will work with for 20 years, it takes quite a lot for both of us. I think what stands out for Peter is that I saw when I met Peter, we don't have a book yet. Right. But what I've seen in him is the way that he cares for people. It's genuine, you know. It's not as if, you know, I care for you because I need something from you. So very much that care, no matter how busy he might be, he would really touch base. How are you, Sarili? How is mommy? You know, I mean, that kind of a connection that he would have with not only with me, but with the rest of the team, that one is a big check mark. Another one would be the fact that, you know, to be able to have one of the world's best coach as my own coach, you know, I would always remember him for his coaching questions. You know, the kind, and you know this, Gerard, right? The kind of questions that will make you think, that will make you reflect. And many times I would even tell him, Peter, that's a very good question. I need to get back to you, okay? Because I need some time to reflect. Yeah. So I love how rather than because it's easy to just give us answers, but for him to be able to, you know, kind of draw it out from us, and it's really coaching in action. And I can go on and on, but maybe let's just stick to those top three. So there's the care, there's that coaching, you know, there's that coaching questions. And I think, well, the third, not I think, I believe the third one would actually be being able to give trust. You know, he has entrusted ITD World Philippines to me. I have one anecdote to this. So when I was new, there were times that I want to consult, right? These are really big shoes to fill, you know, because when I started, I was country head of ITD in the Philippines. So it's like all the responsibilities, everything is on my shoulders. So there are times that I know that Peter will just be a WhatsApp message away, right? An email away. So I would compose this. I remember composing kind of a long message for him, right? Kind of my thoughts, my recommendations, and all. And you know what he told me? Sarili, whatever. Sarili, I trust you. Whatever you think is best, let's go with that. Then I go, thank you. You know, and kind of, I mean, That for me, those are there's so many core memories, but being able to really know that he cares for all of us, the brilliant coaching questions, and plus the direction that he has taken ITD world in general, and knowing how much he also not just care but also trust in our abilities, those are the things that for me makes a really, really great coach.
I still will ask you another one because I think this is also important.
Sure.
Because I think a lot of what is the new leading into the future, or what is the new leadership looks like in the future with AI? Because we all know that AI will make a huge difference in the work environment. And therefore, I think that I in my own view, in my own words, I would say, and this is where I would like your really a professional answer on that, because you work in this environment since decades. I think two things which are standing out for me. One is empathy, and the other one is. And this is really very, yeah, I think you have to be careful about the wording, but I had a wonderful conversation about it with Brenda Benz. I think you know Brenda Benz. It's
Yes.
vulnerability, but vulnerability in a sense of openness and authenticity, she mentioned it, because vulnerability as its own can look like weakness. But for me, it's not weakness. It is a sign of I'm standing on a crossing road, and I don't know which direction I should go. And vulnerability in this sense means I have someone where I can ask, yeah, maybe advice on, or ask me. And this was what you said also, asking great questions that I find myself the answers. Which means coming back to my question now, is it so that you say empathy and vulnerability in a sense is a skill for the future leaders?
Totally agree. Totally agree with empathy, vulnerability. I know, like, there's even this one word that is popping in my head, humanity. You know, it's really us being human, right? Because yes, we see that AI, you know, is I don't think there is any conference on leadership and human resource and all the other fields that doesn't mention AI anymore, right? Because it's here. The key there now would be, you know, where is the human person, coming in, right? And totally agree with us now, especially with even with the environment, right? Even with everything that is happening now, what stands out is, do leaders, not do my boss, right? My boss, my team leader, my supervisor, my manager, am I seen? Right? Is there that empathy? And I think to support this, Gerard and Rebecca, last year, and even up to this year, I've actually been running like 1 day workshops because only they can only afford to kind of give 1 day to this, to really to equip their leaders. This is for a big retail organization here in the Philippines. It's leading with empathy. Yeah, so it's like because it's they say that can really make or break, you know, like people who can actually stay on even if the work is hard, right? Even if it really stretches me so much, but I know that I have someone, I have a boss who understands. And it's not about being too complacent or too kind, or you will not actually give feedback as needed. But I know that I can be vulnerable. You know, I know that I can make a mistake, but I won't off with your head, kind of thing. I think that really counts. We've done like surveys and kind of interviews with people, and that's really the reason why they actually stay. So that's a very key element to think about, especially if you're a leader navigating through AI and the environment that we are faced with.
Wow.
Thank you. Is that also something that you wanna, you would wanna tell the listeners? Because my last question kind of would be, what is something that you would, like the older generations to know, or the younger ones, people like me in my age, is there something you can offer them as advice, or, like we should communicate more or show more empathy? Is there anything that you want to say?
Thank you. I love those examples, right? One thing, as you were asking me the question, two words pop into my head: lifelong learning. So I am such a believer of that. I'm a product of that. Do you know that in my, I would always say that every year I would set aside funds for my lifelong learning. Okay, some of it would have some travel involved. Some of them would really be because I'm keen and I'm interested to get to know more about this. If we stop learning, we stop growing. So I think that is really one key success factor for me. If I don't, because I go back, it's part of those education, right? That exposure, and maybe a third E is really that experience, right? So it all leads, and it's all woven together. Because if I haven't picked this up from whatever training or workshop, or even watching a video, if I haven't put myself out there, I would think that what I know holds true. Yeah. So I really enjoy when, for example, I get a spark of insight, I get a light bulb moment, and I go like, oh yeah. And especially perhaps I am very much an advocate of this, because I would always tell myself, I cannot give what I do not have, right? So if I do not really imbibe, if I do not absorb so much of this lifelong learning, then I won't be able to give it to my participants. So I think it begins with there. If there's one thing more I'll add, lifelong learning. But please don't forget application, right? Because they could just be lifelong learning. You've absorbed everything under the sun, but you don't put it to action. So if you put both of them together, and I do that at the end of, while I'm listening in, may it be a workshop, a conference, and I would often invite my participants to do this. I would always have a page. Right, it can be in a manual, it can be a notes page on my phone. I would always write there things to do after the workshop, okay? Or things to do after the conference. And I'm one for lists, so I would go immediately after, in the week after. So part of that is sharing it with my team, right? So there's always and please make, and I will tell my team, please make me accountable. So if I commit to mention this, it's great to have some accountability partners when you do your action commitments and really your to-do list after the session. And because for me, learning is really meant to be shared. Right, it's like lighting a candle. So when you light one, the ones who has lighted candles can also spread it to others and spread it to others, and that is really all about making a difference.
Thank you. That was Great answer to my question and a great kind of conclusion to our conversation. If you wanna that, if you wanna say something else, or if you certainly wanna, say something else, then go ahead. Other than that, I would just do the outro. Okay.
I think the final word from my end would be what Sarah was wonderful saying, making each other better. I think this is definitely something which is now also my mission. And no, there's no more to add from my end. No. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you so much too. That was
Was
fun.
definitely.
Okay, then I will just do the outro. I also don't have any concluding words because I think you said everything, Sarah-Lee, and also that you said like the final words. I thought also that was a great conversation. Thank you for your time and for your answers and for your insight. And yeah, that would be it for this episode. To our listeners, as always, thank you for listening. If you have any remarks or any questions you want to ask us, just go ahead, text us, we will answer you. And yeah, that's it for this episode.
Maybe a really a last one, because we spoke a lot about ITT World, we spoke a lot about CCMC. It is all this ITT World where I'm coming from. If someone is interested in getting in touch with ITT World about the different programs they offer, yeah, let's get in touch with me. I think I have a great connection to this wonderful community, to this organization. I know I was coached by the CEO, Dr. Peter G, which means I can support definitely anyone of the listeners who is interested. Yeah, but I think that was really the end of this podcast session. Thank you very much to all the listeners, and Rebecca, the last one.
Yeah, thank you for listening, and until the next one, bye.
Ciao, bye.
Bye.